Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
How did Dave Ziegler do as the Raiders GM in his first season in Las Vegas? That's the subject of this segment on Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Mo Moten, Scott Colbranson back with you. You want to engage, you want to have some fun. If you're not a psycho, hit us up on Twitter. Follow Mo at Mo Moten, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N, and I am at L-V Gully. We love to interact with fans who want to talk Raiders football. Whether you agree with us or disagree with us, totally fine. We will have a respectful conversation with you there, so we appreciate you. Also, follow the show at SNB Today for the latest on show availability. Also, subscribe to the podcast wherever you can get it. Wherever you listen to your audio, you can find Silver and Black Today. Okay, Mo, Dave Ziegler, let's get to first reactions to this, because in his first year, he comes in, he hires his whole front office staff, his player personnel development staff. He makes the big Devontae Adams trade. Everybody's ready to make this guy the mayor of Las Vegas after one big move. He goes out and gets Chandler Jones, another crown, supposedly jewel in the crown, I should say, for this Raiders offense that a lot of people were talking about as Super Bowl caliber offense or defense. And so then suddenly the season starts, and in August, you and I are sitting around as others that cover the Raiders, and we're saying, what about the offensive line? And we don't understand what they're doing, and they tell us they have depth there, and we can see that they don't have depth there, and they have a lot of inexperience and B-level talent, sometimes C-level talent. When you look at Dave Ziegler's first year as GM, I'm not going to ask you to give a letter grade because that's tired and old, but when you look at this, how do you look at his performance, what he was able to do? You called the Raiders season on the field disastrous. How was it in the front office?
I would say it's disappointing. And see, you said disappointing for the season. I said disaster. I'll say disappointing for Dave Ziegler, because while he wasn't a disaster, because I like the fact that he established a core and let the guys know, look, we're rewarding our homegrown players, Hunter Renfro, Max Crosby, even Derek Carr. He got an extension, but it wasn't out there. So it was smart to do that, because it wound up falling apart. So you got to give him credit for that. But as you just talked about, he ignored glaring holes on the roster. The offensive line clearly wasn't good enough. Now, has it overachieved? Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's a good offensive line. you go into the season without – I know they signed Bilal Nichols, but it was clear going into the season that they needed another impact defensive tackle, and they didn't address that need. So here you are with you're rotating your right tackle between Thayer Mumford and Illuminar. You don't address your defensive line. We talked about how I didn't like him re-sign, even though he gets credit for establishing a culture there, but I think he jumped the gun with extending Darren Waller.
No question.
I was always kind of against that deal, that extension with that amount of money that quickly.
Yep.
You look at Now, I know hindsight is always 20/20, but now when you look at the fact that they let Yannick Ngakoue go and brought in Chandler Jones, who basically flashed for maybe 33% of the season, doesn't look good when you consider that you're paying, you sign him to a 3-year, $51 million deal. So there's a lot of criticism that Dave Ziegler deserves. If you look at even, I understand he didn't have a first or second round draft pick, but if you look at his draft class, Dylan Parham was the only guy who got significant snaps. Zamir White, I get it because Josh Jacobs is playing out of his mind, barely touched the ball this season. Neil Farrell Jr. and Matthew Butler barely saw the field. Brent Brown didn't see the field.
Nope.
Aya Mumford got some good time, but at the end of the season, they leaned on Jermaine Illuminar to be their right tackle. So yeah. At the end, I mean, other than the extensions that you got in Mac Hollins, you know, what did Dave Ziegler really do to build on what they had last year? And it's not much to really you can say about it.
Yeah, and that's what's disturbing. I think it's hard after 1 year to evaluate somebody. Now, I think if Josh McDaniels is not that close with the GM, meaning they didn't come as a package deal, I think Josh McDaniels, and we're going to talk about him next segment, but I think he might already be gone. He could be. He could have been, okay? But because of that close relationship, he gets the opportunity to live another day. But with Dave Ziegler, I agree with you because the glaring miscues on the interior of both the offense and defense, and that is where you win championships, is you have to have good offensive lines, good defensive lines. And so the winning in the trenches, that never changes. I don't care what offenses do over the period of decades and how they change and how they get more open and how they're slinging the ball around, doesn't matter. You still need to have a good offensive line. You still need to have a good defensive line that can rush the passer. And so what I don't understand is why they chose. Now, I get what you're saying about taking care of your core players. Makes a lot of sense. The Waller one you and I have agreed with on all along since we had Cynthia Freeland on the show in July, who told us the same thing from NFL Network. And that was, why would you even think about extending him? You got 2 years left. Instead of taking that money and maybe go getting. Now, again, this is hindsight. We don't know how he would have done. And Ndamukong Suh or somebody like that on the inside, who you called for back in August, I think it was as well, and some other guys. You could have spent money there, but instead you spent money on Darren Waller, who barely played all season. Now, don't know that that's going to happen. But to me, that's where what he does in the draft and what we see over the next few months, to me, is going to be very telling because he has got to nail it. Mo, I said it in the first segment. He not only has to have, he has to have a better than average, or I should say better than good draft. He has to have a better than good player acquisition strategy when it comes to free agent. Like he's got, if you were wowed by his stuff last year, and I'm not saying it's got to be blockbuster deals all over the place, Mo, but all of the heavy lift is on him.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You have to understand, as I said in the first segment, the Raiders have a lot of holes. So you're right. He has to have a better than good draft because even a half decent draft isn't going to cover it all for this team with all the with all the voids they have. Think about this. They need at least two offensive linemen because as you alluded to in our Red Vic Tafer story, they're probably going to move Dylan Parham to center.
Yep.
So we know Alex Bars is not a starting guard in this league. So now you're going to need two guards. You need to upgrade at right tackle. Every level of defense needs a playmaker. You need a defensive tackle. You probably need somebody who's going to fill in some snaps for Chandler Jones, who's getting up there in age. He just ended the season with a major injury. You need to revamp your entire linebacker core if you're not bringing back Denzel Perryman. You need a cornerback because Rocky Sin and Anthony Averett was terrible this year. Rocky Sin is a free agent. Nate Hobbs took a step back. You need a safety unless you feel good bringing back Daron Harmon. He's your starter. But remember, you let go of Jonathan Abram because he wasn't cutting it.
Right.
But you need all of this talent. So you need more than half of your draft picks, because remember, you're not filling all of these holes with expensive free agents. Some of that, a lot of that, I think you're going to have to do via the draft. So he's going to have to hit, at least I wouldn't say hit, but more than half of his draft picks have to be contributors in their first year, because if they're not, you're going to be rolling with a lot of stopgap guys who may or may not work again.
And Mo, to me, he's got to be all of his picks from the first through third round have to hit, like without a doubt, like they have to. Now, it's not all his fault this team is in this position. It goes back to the Gruden era number two, when they just one of the worst stretches in the history of the NFL with draft picks, having that many high draft picks and walking away with zero. Okay, so this is that is astronomical as far as the chances of that happening, but it did. So you look at that, and he's got to do that. And that's where I get to as well, because this Raiders team has to, they have a lot of holes. Now, people want to put terms on, is it a rebuild? Is it a retool? It doesn't really matter. You have to fill roles. My question to you is, we've talked about, and I've been a proponent and will be until it happens. And if it doesn't happen, I think I'll be disappointed for the Raiders. I've been a fan and a proponent of trading Darren Waller and getting draft capital if you can get it, if the value's there. Is there anything else they can do? I think they need more draft capital. They got a bunch of it, but I think they need to stack it, because this team has to get younger, it has to get more talented, so you have to manage that budget. Yes, you can pepper in the free agents, but Dave Ziegler did not have a good year with free agents overall last year.
Right, I think, and that's why I'm okay with trading Darren Waller if he brings in good draft capital, because as I said, I'm on the fence about players who are hurt more often than not in recent games. So I'm already kind of iffy with him. Now he did look pretty good when he came back from his injury, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, I think what's going to happen with the front office is they're going to see what Derek Carr brings in. Mm-hmm. If Derek Carr is able to fetch them multiple draft picks, including a 2-3, mm-hmm. You know, maybe they hold on to Darren Waller, especially if they bring in a Tom Brady, because having Darren Waller there attracts Tom Brady, unless he's going to bring Gronk with him out of retirement. You know, so that's the other thing. But if you're not bringing in a Brady, you have a young, you're going to go with a young quarterback and rebuild your offensive line and revamp, overhaul your defense. As you said, you need as much draft capital as possible. But I think the first step is finding out what can you get for Derek Carr. That's the first block. Once you find that out, then you find out, okay, we have X amount of, we have 9 draft picks. Is that enough to cover what we need? If it's not, then you start to look at, okay, who else has value? Who else has trade value? Who else can we move for more draft capital so that we can fill those holes?
No question. And you look at, by the way, before we go to our next break, you look at the schedule. The schedule was released for next year as far as the opponents. I shouldn't say the schedule. The opponents for next year. Mm-hmm. The Raiders at home, of course, the three other AFC West teams, the Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers. Then the Jets, possible spot for Derek Carr, although you don't mm-hmm. think it's going to happen. But if it was, that would be incredible if he came back with the Jets to face the Raiders in Las Vegas. Oh, then the man. Green Bay Packers, again, the New England Patriots visit Las Vegas. And the Minnesota Vikings, away opponents, the three AFC West teams, the Raiders go. You talk about two cold weather games, Chicago, depending when they're at, Chicago, Buffalo, Miami, and Detroit. So you look at their schedule, with the exception of the Jets and Packers, every team of Jets, Packers, and Broncos, every team the Raiders play next year is a play, and the Bears is a playoff team. So all but four teams. But four teams they play next year, Mo, are playoff teams this year. Now, that doesn't mean there'll be playoff teams next year, but if I look at these teams, away opponents, the Lions getting better, made the playoffs. The Dolphins getting better, made the playoffs. The Buffalo Bills, perhaps the best team in the AFC, okay? Then at home, Minnesota, great year with a good young coach. New England, of course, didn't make the playoffs. Green Bay didn't make the playoffs. Jets didn't make the playoffs. But the Jets, if they get a quarterback, watch out. So it's a tough schedule again next year for the Raiders.
Yeah, the Lions narrowly missed the playoffs, but they did finish.
Oh, yes, sorry, record. Narrowly missed, yes.
So, but they're, next year, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I said the Lions would be a sleeper team this year, and part of the reason why is because they're strong in the trenches. They built up their offensive line. and they build up their defensive line. And it's exactly why I picked them to, you know, sneak up on a lot of teams this year. But that's not going to be an easy game because we don't know what the Packers' future is going to be because Aaron Rodgers is a little cryptic about what he's going to do next. The Bears are rebuilding, obviously, the first overall pick. So the Lions could really be a tough opponent on their schedule and could be in a lot better position than the Raiders if they continue to build on what they have. Now, they may lose their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, if he gets a job. We'll see. But I think the Raiders, if they don't do anything this offseason that's significant as far as upgrading the roster, it could look a lot worse in 2023. And I hate to say that now and discourage fans, but, you know, time is ticking. And I said this on the BR show. I've said this on previous shows. Whether you want to believe me or not, I know what Mark Davis said, that, you know, Josh McDaniels is doing a fantastic job. Don't think for a second that the Raiders start 0-4 that he's not on the hot seat.
Yeah. Or even if they start subpar, Mo. I mean, if they go 3-5 or 3-4, or maybe not 3-4, 3-5, 2-5, where it looks a lot like this year. If they blow, I mean, listen, I think it's gonna. He has perhaps the hottest seat going into the next season. There's no question.
He has to,
especially now if Brandon Staley loses in the playoffs for the Chargers and doesn't get fired this year, then he might have one too. But outside of that, I think Josh McDaniels is going to have the hottest seat.
And he should, because there's nothing he's done thus far that'll show you that he's a viable head coach in this league. I hate to bring up what happened, you know, more than a decade ago, but there's nothing yet that tells you Josh McDaniels is going to be a good head coach. He's not just an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, hold that right there, because when we come back from the break, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Josh McDaniels. Mo's touched a lot on it already, but let's get into some specifics about that. Before we go to the break, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Turn on the auto download. That helps us out significantly. If you're watching us on YouTube, thanks again. Always a great crowd on there. And also, by the way, when we go into the offseason, the show does run a little less, but we'll still be with you. There's no offseason in the NFL, just offseason off the field. But when it comes to front office, and the Raiders this year have so much going on, so we'll have that all for you here, as well as some new features. We'll even have some shorter shows. We might have more shows, Mo, 1 week more than another, and there might be short little things here and there, too, just to keep you updated and to give you our view on things. So stay tuned for that. It'll be fun. All right, we're going to hit to that break. When we come back, we roll on with Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. Don't go anywhere.